All right.
You can take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 2. The Gospel of John chapter 2. I know that we like to look at the map and see where we go, but sometimes Jesus doesn't go anywhere. It's been a while since we have looked back here. In fact, I think it's been before Christmas time. We were we left off and then had some all kinds of different things that we went through during the Christmas season. And then just since that time, we've continued to have other things in introducing our theme. And anyway, it's time to get back into John, the Gospel of John. And we're in chapter 2 right now. Again, we're not going through John necessarily, but we are looking at the four Gospels together in a chronological way and also a geographical way in following the steps of Jesus Christ and where he has been, where he is going. And so we are going to continue on. Let's review just for a moment in John chapter 2. Jesus had been to Cana of Galilee and he had ministered there. And this was his first recorded miracle that we have. Doesn't mean that it was his first miracle, but it's certainly the first one that we have recorded that he had done, and we watched Jesus do some great things there. We followed him in some different pathways there as he had ministered there at that wedding in Cana. We wrap up that section in verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And then we pick up in the next couple verses, and anyway, Jesus ends up going to the Passover in Jerusalem. As you see in verse, he goes to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brethren, his disciples, they continue there a few days. And then it's the Passover time, and so he heads down south from the Sea of Galilee, on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee, where he was there in Capernaum. And now he heads to Jerusalem. A long trip, a couple-day trip. Jesus goes down to Jerusalem. Of course, what he finds in the temple is something that's very ungodly, using God's place as a place for their own selves. People and the money changers, and they're doing all their own things. And God says, no, this, Jesus said, this ought not to be. And the place of God, his house, is not a place for our gain. It's not a house of merchandise. It is for the honor and glory of God. Now notice what was said in verse 17. His disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Obviously, Jesus was zealous about his house. Now, that brings us to verse 18, which we want to begin with tonight. He's still there in Jerusalem. He's still there at the temple. Then answered. This is right after this whole uprising there in the temple. Now, Jesus and the different money changers and the different ones that sold and bought and all that they're making out of this festive time of the Passover. So here we are in verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? So, you know, he comes and, you know, saying that you ought not do this in the temple, and they want to know, well, what sign is it that you can claim yourself? What sign would you give to us? You see, the Jews demanded a miraculous sign to prove that Jesus had the authority to do what he had just done. What authority do you have, Jesus, to come in here and to make the scene that you have just done? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we see what the Jews were looking for. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, we read, for the Jews require a sign. They were always looking for a sign, looking for what Jesus could prove himself to them that he was who he said he was, or at least that he had their credentials, or he had the authority to do what he did. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. So they're requiring a sign. I want you to notice Jesus' response. We're going to be looking in verse 23. We can follow through. Let's go ahead and read verse 19. What was Jesus' response? And then we'll get to verse 23, which is the crux of this passage. He says in verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, what do you think the Jews are thinking right now? They're purely thinking of the building, okay? The building? You're going to destroy this temple and you're going to raise it up in 3 days, okay? Is this the sign that he's talking about? Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Now, what was Jesus talking about? He was talking about his own body, which was going to be given for them. He says in verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus has said. You see, this is not just some flippant thing that was done and never to be remembered again. The disciples are going to come back to this later and said, that's what he was talking about. He was talking about his body. He wasn't talking about the temple. And again, like I said this morning, we can't fault these disciples so much. They just did not understand all that they had in front of them. And they certainly, like I said this morning, did not have what we have in front of us. We have the completed scriptures. We can look back and we can know, this is what, we know what Jesus meant. But the disciples, they had a hard time knowing what he was talking about, okay? So that this would come back later to help them to have their faith and belief in Jesus Christ and who he was. But I want you to look at verses 23, 24, and 25, okay? The Jews requiring a sign. And we have here, I've entitled this, the pathway of truth. The pathway of truth, what Jesus knew and what these men ought to know. Now, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, at the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. What does Jesus want us to learn from this passage? Now, as Jesus was in Jerusalem, he obviously did miracles, which many people believed, many people followed. But as we see in these next few these verses that we just read, these people did not believe in him necessarily as a savior, but the healer. They looked at it, they saw this good man that was come to bless them and their bodies and just make them whole. Now in verse 24, we see that he did not commit himself to them as he could see their hearts. See, these people were not ready for him to declare who he was. They were not ready for him to say, hey, I've come to save you. I've come to die on the cross and to save you. They weren't ready for that. He knew their hearts. He knew their heart. In spite of their outward confessions, he knew what was on the inside. This morning we looked at Psalm 139 about how Jesus or God knows us. He knows us so well. And again, we have already looked at Psalm 139, how God knew them. He was with them everywhere they went. He had made them, and he had wonderful thoughts for them. How wonderful thy thoughts are unto me, O Lord, David says. And so he had known them so well. And here we see that he knows us. He knows our hearts. Now, have you considered that? That God knows our hearts. Again, this morning we looked in depth how God knows us. But I really want you to look tonight. He said he knew their hearts. He knew their hearts. He knows us so well. He knew their hearts. What are our hearts? I've gone over this with you. I want you to understand what it is. When the scriptures say our heart, what are we talking about? We're talking about our emotions. Okay? What we feel. What we go through in our emotions. Okay? Jesus knows that. God knows our hearts. He knows our emotions. What about our thoughts? The scriptures teach that our heart is our thought process. The things that we think about. We went over this morning. It's kind of amazing how the Lord tied these two together. He knew their thoughts, their emotions. He knows your emotions. He knows your thoughts. He knows their values and what they truly treasured. Well, these religious people, of course they treasure God and the kingdom, but did they really? He knew their hearts. He knew their emotions, he knew their thoughts, he knew their values and their treasures. He knew their will and what they would choose, what they would decide. He knew the decisions and the decision process that they would go through. He knew their motivations, why they would do what they would do. He knew their hearts. Now, Here we have the pathway of truth. Jesus knew the truth about them. Do you know that? Again, this morning we looked at God knows us, right? God knows us. And because he knows us, he knows the truth about you. Is it possible that there are people in this room that do not know the truth about you? Is that possible? Is it likely? Is it real? Yes. You know what? We have the outside to look upon, right? Sometimes those insides kind of come out in hot water situations, but we have an outward shell that we all appear to be. And every one of us has an appearance before our brothers and sisters right now. And every one of us has a little bit of a testimony. There are some, you know, that are new here tonight that there's not going to be much of a testimony. We don't know you very much. You don't certainly know us very much. But as you, the whole of the congregation, are here, we kind of know who we are, at least on the outside. Some of us have gotten to know each other on the inside a little bit. We kind of see the emotions and the decisions and the will and the treasures and the values that we each have. All right? But Jesus knew the truth about them. Jesus knew the truth about these people. He knows the truth. I wonder if we know the truth about ourselves. I want you to think about that. The truth about ourselves. How would you describe yourself? Upright, righteous, one that walks with the Lord, loves the Lord. Well, how would you describe yourself? If I could call each one of you up here and say, all right, you're up here, why don't you turn around and describe yourself to these people here. How would you describe yourself? Folks, Jesus knows the truth. Let me ask you another question. What would it be like if you were called up here and you didn't give the testimony, but Jesus gave the testimony? Would the two mesh? Would the two be the same? Folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus knows the truth. Jesus knew the truth and he went straight to the truth. He knew these people's hearts. I was studying this and I said, how can we have a pathway here? How do I follow Christ here? And the answer here is we need to know our own hearts as well. And our hearts ought to. Our testimony needs to mesh and match up with what Jesus' testimony would be. I'll tell you what, we need to be people of the truth. Let me ask you a question. Are you a true Christian? You say, yes, Pastor. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm on my way to hell. I know that Jesus loves me. I know that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me on the cross. And I know that what's required is not my works. It's not my good things, not going to church. I know that what is required of me is that I simply have faith and trust and believe. Yes, I am a real Christian, okay? Real in who you are. But what about your practice? Do you live a Christian life that is real? Now, Jesus knows the truth. Again, as I look across the room, sir, ma'am, teen, and youngster, God knows the truth about you. Again, I ask the question, what would the testimony of Christ be if we were all called up here? Would we want him to testify? Probably not. Many of us would not. No, no, I can't do it. Some of us would probably bolt out of the room and say, I'm going the other direction. I don't want people to know the truth. Folks, it's time that we start being the truth. Christ already knows the truth. We need to be people of the truth. We need to realize and own up to the truth about ourselves. And what does the Bible say about us? Turn to Romans chapter 3. I just want you to read what the scriptures tell us about ourselves. Again, I ask you, what if you were to come up here and give a testimony of who we are? I guarantee some of you would say, you know, I love the Lord and I desire to walk with the Lord. And I hope that's true. But our testimony, some would be this glossed over view of who we are. What do the scriptures say about us? Romans chapter 3. Verse 10, start in verse 10. As it is written, this is the truth, this is the scripture. What is written? There is how many righteous? Well, certainly there's 60, 70 people that are righteous here. No, the Bible says none. Now, of course, we're declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ as he has saved us. But we're sinners, folks. We're sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You know, in your own self, without Christ, you are not a seeker of God. We seek after the things of ourselves, the things that satisfy ourselves. We're not a God seeker. We were not a God seeker. They are gone, all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. God says that we are unprofitable without him. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The testimony would be that there's not a person in this room that in their natural state would have sought to do good. And the only reason why we can do good is because of who? Is that really the truth, Carrie? You say Christ. You know, is that really the truth? You better believe it's the truth. That we can do one thing right unless it was because of Jesus Christ. So what's the real picture of who I am? Nobody, right? Anything you see is who? It's got to be Christ. It's got to be Christ. He continues, verse 13, their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. You know, I mean, man, what a picture we're getting painted here. I thought I was a good person. I thought that I was upright. I thought I was righteous. I thought I loved God. Oh, the Bible's painting a picture here that says, no, you are a low-down nothing. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Folks, the truth of the matter is, the reality is we are wicked sinners. Now, let me stop and say this. Praise the Lord, we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. Now that's who we are with Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus Christ, the picture is bleak, right? We are Romans 3, 10 to 18, right there, without Christ. So we know what God knows about us. As a Christian, as a saved, oh, I'm righteous now. Now I'm upright because he saved me. But what about the reality? That's your position. Your position is now holy. Your position is now righteous. Your position is now one that seeks after God. But what about the practice? And here's where we get down to real Christianity, folks. Because many people are acting. Many people are pretending. Many people want everybody else to see. But what is the reality of you today? I'm not talking about the position. I trust, and I hope that you're trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation. But what about your practice? Are you living real Christianity? Jesus knows the truth. Jesus knows the truth about your heart. Is it possible to fool our brothers and sisters? Absolutely it is. Can we fool God? These people pretended to be caring about religious things. Show us a sign. We want to know if you're legitimate or not. And Jesus knew their wicked hearts. We have the pathway of truth. Folks, it's time that we agree with God. What I mean by that is this. Yes, in position, we are righteous, we are holy, we are a child of God, and we're saved and we're set apart. But the fact of the matter is we're humans and we do our own thing sometimes. But we never want to come to that point and admit what God already knows about us. But it's time that we stop and say, God, I'm not one that seeks after you the way I ought to. God, I do lie with my mouth. God, I do try to pretend, and I have wrong motives. You know, we are Christians that are living a lie. We're so scared to admit the truth. You know what that really all it is? That's true confession. Confession is saying the same thing that God says. If God were to come up and testify about you, what would he say? It's time that we would say the same thing. What would God say about your heart? Men, what would God say about your thoughts? What would he say? And the men that are in the room are saying, that's convicting, isn't it? And I know you men aren't wanting to nod, but guess what? I'm going to nod. Because it's real. It's who we are. Ladies, what about the emotions? Does God know your emotions? He does. It's time that we admit our own emotions. I'm not saying in front of everybody and go tell everybody all our problems, but it's time that we come to God and say, God, you know my thoughts aren't right. God, you know my emotions aren't right. God, you know that my treasures and values. Christians that are sitting here this evening, what are your values and your treasures? What's really important to you? What do you hold tight and close underneath your coat that you don't want anybody to touch? The things that you spend your money on, that spend your time with, the things that are so important to you. We all show up on Sunday morning and we say, God is most important to me. God is most important to me. And God says, sir, when are you going to get real? Christian, when are you going to get real? And confess and say the same thing that God says. I think one of the reasons why we don't see God work the way we need to at our church is because we are not real and we won't budge. I'm not going to let anybody in under this outer facade. What's the only way that we can get forgiveness? Confession. If we confess, if we say the same thing about ourselves as God says. You see, he leads us and he knows the truth. What about us? You know what, men? It might be time tonight to say, I know I've got a problem with what I think about. I know I've got a problem with what I look at. I know I've got a problem with what I say with my mouth. I know that I've got a problem with anger. I know that I've got a problem with the lack of discipline. I know that I got that problem. That's what God would say. It's time that we say that. And I'll tell you what, it's time that we come forward and we get some things right. We're so scared to budge in our seats because we are not people of truth. Folks, Jesus was a person of truth. We ought to be people of truth. We want to follow Christ's pathway? It's time we become men of truth. Ladies, it's time we become ladies of truth and admit who we are. It's time to get down to the altar and say, I want to admit who you see me as. It's not until we see ourselves the way Christ sees us that he is able to change us and make us into what we ought to be. A person that doesn't have a need cannot be helped. If a person doesn't admit their need, are they going to be helped? No. So as long as we continue to walk around in our false clothes and who we are, we will not be helped. You will not be helped. Because you've never confessed, you've never said the same thing as what God says. It's time to recognize a good. It's time to see ourselves for who we really are. It is time to see ourselves as who God has made us to be. A good, loving God who loves and cares for us in spite of who we are. And by the way, shouldn't we say amen to that? In spite of who we are, aren't you thankful that God still loves us? Because I know some of you are sitting there in your seats right now and you're feeling a little convicted of the reality of who you are. I am. And God still loves me. He still loves you. That's just testimony to a God. But folks, let's stop living a lie. Let's be people of the truth. Let's be people of the truth. Let's follow Christ's pathway and say, you know what? God knows my heart. I need to know my heart as well. And I need to get my heart right. We need to walk with Jesus. And we need to follow Jesus. And we need to follow him into truth. Question this evening as we close. Are you a Christian of truth? Does your testimony agree with Christ's? Father, a short challenge tonight, but a very convicting one. Father, the reason why we're so scared to admit the truth about our own selves is because we're proud. We're proud and we're selfish and we're worldly and we don't want to change. We don't want anybody else to know our struggles. God, you know our struggles. We learned that this morning. You know our weaknesses. You know our sins. You know our faults. You know our thoughts. You know our minds. You know our values and treasures. You know our will. You know our emotions, our desires. God, would you help us tonight? Would you help us tonight to be people of the truth? God, I pray that there would be people here tonight that would decide to no more living a lie, no more faking it, no more pretense, no more of this fake and false Christianity. Tonight, Lord, I want to be a Christian of the truth. I want to confess to you and admit my problems, admit my faults, so that I can get help, so that I can walk with Jesus. Oh, Lord, it's a hard deal. It's a hard step of faith, but Lord, it's such a rewarding step. We pray for people to admit their struggles with alcohol or admit their struggles with drugs or admit their struggles with pornography or admit their struggles so that they can get help. God, we rejoice over that. We rejoice over a sinner that admits that he's a sinner. And the reason why is because we know that the end of it is hope. Hope in Christ. Lord, if we're not going to admit, if we're not going to be real, there's not really much hope that we're going to walk with Jesus. God, would you help us tonight? God, would you help us tonight to become real? Lord, and what that takes is confession of sin. It's to confess, to say the same thing as. Lord, help us to say the same thing tonight, what you would say about us. Not just in our position, but in our practice. God, I'm thankful for our position. Oh God, help us in our practice. Help us to be real Christians of the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.